Blog Talk Radio.
Give it up, thanks this morning as we get together to bring you another edition of One Black Man Talk. Give it up, thanks first to our Heavenly Father. Then I want to give some thanks to our ancestors, those that have lived years before us and basically dealt with things that we're not cut out to deal with, but allow us to live the life that we're living. Those that picked the cotton, those that heard names and things thrown at them, for those that couldn't look people square in the eye and felt unhuman, didn't feel like a man or feel like a woman, and built, you know, what we enjoy today, I want to personally give thanks to all of you, because I have lived a very well life, and I never want to be thought or forgiven or forgotten that because the way I live, I know others came before me and prepared me and prepared a place, help prepare a place for me to live such as I do. So we start right there before we get the conversation rolling. I'm Mark Elliott, as you may know by now. We get together in the summer twice a month, and we have conversations, myself, Mr. Jim Reese, and Mr. Charles, and it kind of basically can go anywhere with these conversations, and I love it. I love the fact that three brothers can find time throughout a hectic, busy week to get together and just basically chop it up. What's better than that? Not much. Mr. D. Maurice, we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, man. I want to come to you and first find out how you're doing, but also I want to ask, man, something the past 2 weeks that we haven't really gotten together, something simple that may have occurred, you notice, it may seem simple, but on a scale of really thinking about it, it turned out to be big for you. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice and to be with your brothers one more time. There were a number of things that crossed my mind, but I think the thing that really lays with me now is how important family is, and how, you know, no matter how you feel about each other, no matter whether you're fighting or not agreeing on certain things, when you're in trouble, you put all that aside and step up and help that family member in their time of need. And that's what I always appreciated about family. That kind of stuck out to me this morning with things going on in the past 2 weeks, how family, no matter what, when you need the cavalry will come. And sometimes I think in life we let, like, a lot of personal issues and things kind of get in the way of that. And the word that comes to mind is pride. But everybody needs some help at some particular point in their lives, and we're not above that. And so when hopefully people have families that they can go to when they get into a tight spot, that they would put everything aside and say, you know what, my family needs help, and they step up and they do what they need to do to help them.
Yeah, man, that pride is not a good attribute. I always say, man, get yourself out of the way. Move yourself out of the way. In a lot of situations that we're in, we're putting ourselves first. We're viewing it through those eyes about ourselves first, and allow us not to see it clearly. Mr. Charles, the doors are open, man. We're going to bring you in, bro. Let's check out and see how you're feeling. Of course, we want to see maybe something that simple occurred in the past 2 weeks since we haven't been together that might have seemed simple, but on the scale of things was big to you. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Wow. I thought about what DeMarie said about a connection with, like, family or something like that, but I think I want to talk about stuff that kind of works, that hit me in society. And one of the things I want to talk about is the whole bout about the cancellation or whatever, somewhat of affirmative action, right? And at first I was like, no big deal. I didn't really think about it. But then I start really processing it, and I've heard some responses from people about it. And some of the people of color are really, like, particularly African-Americans, have really been out of shape because what it what they may think it may mean for the future. And I thought about it, and I read different articles. One particular gentleman talked about how he was a person who benefited from it. He knew he did, and it wasn't so much like it cleared the way for him, but it perhaps put him in places that he would never have been able to work through before, but he still had to do the work. And he said he thought that the way things are today, with people being so angry, particularly people not of color, in 2023's mindset in society would make 1923 look like child's play because of the mindset of people being angry for one reason or another. But in just real quick, I think for me it's like when I think about that, I think about you mentioned about with affirmative action, 9% of the population of predominantly white institutions, that's what was going on before. Now with affirmative action being down, it's cut down to about 4.5%. Anyway, all that being said, I look at it this way. It's reason for concern, but I also think that we as a people, particularly African Americans, have to understand that we've always been behind the eight ball. We always had some stuff we had to struggle with, and it might get a little tighter, but I would encourage us to stay strong, and I also would encourage HBCU schools and colleges and whatnot, historically black colleges, to transcend now and kind of reevaluate how you go about business and prepare to be welcoming and more open to how you do business and to understand that your floodgates should maybe open now, where a lot of more of us are going to come to the situation and be prepared to raise the standard, do what we have to do to welcome us back. Because before they said it was okay, we were home. I'll leave that there.
That's well said, bro. Very well said. That to me, I look at that and I think it's a time for us to kind of really understand and humble ourselves in a sense. They're never going to keep the door open for us to do things. We got to kick the door in sometimes, man, and find out ways to do things and stop looking for them to kind of always welcome us. Now, I know that may go off the path a little bit of affirmative action, but and I say that to say, since we've been in this world as black people, like you said, Mr. Charles, we've been behind the eight ball. We put our trust in God and move forward, and we've gotten things done. We've gotten it done as a race of people. So let's not let 8, 9 people sit somewhere and determine what we're going to do with our lives. Let's just handle our business, keep our faith strong, and go about it. It's going to happen. There's no way it's not going to happen. It's happened our entire lifetime. I want to get your response to that, Mr. DeMaurice, because you work in the school system, bro.
Yeah, I was telling a buddy of mine not too long, right after the decision was made, the same thing Mr. Charles was saying, that integration really didn't help us in a lot of different areas because we had our own businesses, our own communities. And that's another story for another show where once we get it, then they don't, they see what we're doing with it and they don't want us to have it. You talk of Rosewood, you talk of Tulsa, Oklahoma, things of that sort, of Black Wall Street. They try to tear it down because when we start doing for ourselves, it's like, you know, we're not bothering you, but you want to bother us and disrupt what we're doing. But one of the things I was saying to my buddy, and we both went to HBCUs, is like, this should be an opportunity for us to, you know, come back home and support ourselves because nobody else is going to support us. So let's support ourselves. Now, I'm at a university that strives on being diverse. There was a letter sent out after the decision that they still plan to do that. It's one of the most diverse schools in the Midwest. Again, they pride themselves on that. And one of the things that I would like to do in few committees that I'm on and things of that sort is to keep pushing for diversity and reaching out to students of color. Not going to let a court decision stop me in doing that and outreaching and going out there and talking to folks from different backgrounds and the importance of trying to get an education, trying to better themselves, things of that sort. So I think Mr. Charles is absolutely right. You know, don't let you know, a few people decide, and I think you said this, a few people decide the fate of you and where you should be and what your purpose is. And so, yeah, we just get things done, man. We just get things done despite all the barriers and the barricades that put before us. We get it done. And I think they know that. And one of the interesting things I was reading on this, too, is that they think, I think a lot of people think affirmative action is just for people of color. No, it's for women, too, because they benefited a lot. A lot of white women benefited from affirmative action. So it's just not people of color. And so it always amazed me how they have these big things in society, and they put it on a certain segment of the population, thinking that that's the only segment of the population that's benefited from it. It benefits a lot of different people, and you may not see it right away, but you'll start seeing it as it starts turning really slowly, and you start seeing the repercussions of this decision and how people are going to be a little bit outraged, thinking that, oh, it didn't, you know, it doesn't bother me, but yes, it does. It doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. When it affects one portion of the population, it starts to affect everybody when it starts really kind of playing out. So, you know, those folks who are cheering, keep cheering. Keep the same energy. When it starts impacting you in your life, then we'll start to see.
Good point there, man. Very good points there. Gentlemen, my my simple thing pales in comparison to what you two brothers brought to the forefront. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to bring it. It's interesting. I've kept seeing over the years the name of a show, Ted Lasso. And never paid it much attention. Just kind of figured, like, you know, it's one of those shows out there. Then I decided, I saw a clip from it, and I decided, you know what, I want to watch this show. So I took a subscription on to Apple TV. It's on Apple TV. And I've been watching, I think it's been off like 3 or 4 seasons. So I started watching the first season and was highly surprised, man, the way the characters are written into this show and where they intertwine with their personalities, the way they go in and out of different things, and how human nature itself is working itself throughout the show with the different characters. And it kind of made me pull back and just thought about our lives in general, how we come across different people at different times in our lives and how we may not understand the role they play, but they play a role to maybe get us to another certain point of growth, understanding who we are, looking ourselves in the mirror. And that I see woven into the show itself. The writers have kind of wove this in. And for me to basically come upon that, I was like, yeah, not that I always look at something or view something to kind of see these certain things, but when you can watch something like that to me and be entertained, hey, man, it's money well spent. Brutal honesty, vulnerability, interpersonal, some of the traits that, you know, we share here. And you just heard it on display, man. That's why I love that we get together and have these conversations. And we're not about the fluff. We're not about the BS. You know, we're about bringing it. We bring it strong. But some can't handle that. And that's okay, because we're not going to change. Well, when black men talk, and black men should always be talking and thinking. I want to come to you with a question, Mr. Charles. It may sound confusing when you hear it, but if we think about it, it has some layers to it. And it is basically, are we who we tell ourselves who we are? Are we otherwise, we are who ourselves tell us we are? Now, if you need me to clarify, let me just kind of roll with this for a second before I come to you, Mr. Jones, because sometimes we tell ourselves who we are. And I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that. But ourselves, our conscience will wake you up and tell you, this is who you are. This is your weakness. This is what you need to adhere to. This is what you need to deal with. So in that times, we kind of run away from it. So there goes the question. Are we who we tell ourselves who we are? Are we are who ourselves tell us who we are? Mr. Charles.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification. First of all, I think it depends on the individual. I really believe that with all my heart. I think it depends on the individual because I think – as you said, we can tell ourselves who we are or who we think we are, and then inside your inner person can be saying something else. But I think that's key, because I think we still, it's possible to be in tune with both, right? You can say, this is who I am, and you also, your inner person says, okay, we're on the same accord because we really see that and we understand we're working in tune. But I think other people have it twisted. So I had to say, unfortunately, to put this answer out there, it doesn't really answer the question, but I think it depends on the individual. For myself, if I was going to throw that out there, I'm in tune with who I am and where I'm going and moving forward, because if not, I'd be a damn mess. I'm already a mess, but I really would be in bad shape.
I'm going to tell you, bro, you know, I chuckle, but you're far from a mess, man. I know you may view yourself that. You may be saying it, you know, to be facetious, bro, but you're not a mess, man. I'm going to tell you, it's this show, seriously, has basically, a good part of the show has basically been built based on you, bro. And that's real talk. So you can't be a mess and help build what we built here, bro. I want to take the time out and just let you know, man, you've always built this show, bro. Chip after chip. Mr. DeMarie, same question, Ross.
Yeah, I think we're in tune with ourselves, but I think there's some times where we can be distracted to get us off track on who we are and what our purpose is and what we need to be doing. We can be kind of thrown off based on life circumstances. But, you know, you always have to kind of come back to, do you know who you are? Sometimes one of the things that I love sometimes, I love all the time, is that when we do our sports show, and sometimes I miss that, me and Ice do a show right after the show, and then we start talking, you know, just catching up, things of that sort. And there have been times where I've faced difficulties and things of that sort. And Mr. Charles was like, do you know who you are? Do you want to win? And it snaps you right back to where you should be. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to him. And, you know, I've been distracted by, you know, things that's happened in my life. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get this together, do this. And it's almost like a pep talk. It's almost like getting a pep talk. Like, you know who you are, man. You know who you know how important you are, and that's the way he is. That's the way he is. He'll pour into you that, okay, I see you a little bit off kilter. It's almost like he's been playing with big brother for a long time, and like, man, snap out of it. I remember last year I was down with COVID, and I was talking to him over the phone, and he's like, oh no, you ain't going nowhere, bro. You get over this, and we got work to do.
Snap me right out of my funk. You got work to do, man. We got a lot to do. So, you know, you get your rest, all that other stuff, drink your juice, all that other stuff, and we got to get back to work. So, you know, and it snapped me right. So I think sometimes we do forget who we are, forget where we come from, forget, you know, that we have roots. And then you have people that come along, or things that you lean on, whether it's your faith or whatever, that snaps you right back into place and go, okay, you know, I was a little off a little bit, but now I'm back where I should be, or now the train is back on the track. And so, you have to thank people like that, that really kind of remind you of who you are. And sometimes we forget because we're so in our head sometimes about things that don't really matter, but it matters to us at that particular time because we're very vulnerable at that particular time. But when you have good people in your life like that, and you have, you know, people who remind you of who you are, it could be your parent, it could be a brother, a sister, it could be a friend, it could be people walking down the street, it could be anybody that reminds you, and then you just snap right back into place and go, okay, this is, I was a little off for a little bit, but now I'm back on track. And it gives you motivation to keep going forward. Yeah, I agree. And I look at this, and thank you, too, for taking that and really giving it the response it deserves. But I think at the bottom of this, you have to really be honest with yourself. Even if it hurts, you know, you feel a certain way, when yourself is basically saying this is who you are, if you don't like it, it hurts, and you're being honest about it, you do something different about it. And you kind of do something to improve it and make it, because, again, that ourselves is our conscious. But I think you need a combination of both. You need to tell yourself, yeah, at times, you know, who you are, and remind yourself of that if it's needed, you know, when it's needed. But at the same time, understand yourself is telling you, yeah, we see you as that, but you this too, and you could be better if you move along in this direction. I listened to a song that I always thought was powerful, and it's interesting. Based on what we were talking about earlier, I think the song was key, and it kind of works into help our mindset. It's Letticy, and the song is entitled Raise Up. If you get a chance, go play it. I mean, it's a powerful song. The song never made it to the airways. People probably never knew it exists because it's not their typical, I want to sex you up, I want to do this type of thing. So, yeah, you know, you're not black music. So if you're not saying that, you're not going to get heard. But there's a few lyrics in there that I want to bring to us, and we kind of go through it. And it kind of goes back to what we just were saying, but you got to know who you are. And in knowing that, you got to know that you're meant for a purpose. So, Mr. DeMaurice, two questions to you, bro. You know who you are? What is your purpose?
Man, sometimes I go back and forth with this. I know who I am. And I know that in my heart of hearts, it's to bring out the best in others. That's my purpose. That's my purpose, to bring out the best in others and myself. And through any kind of vehicle, it could be through media, it could be through teaching, it could be through just being a good friend or a good family member. It can be in a lot of different ways, you know, but to bring out the best in others, I think is my purpose and why I was put here on earth. So if folks are, I will say this and give it a caveat, if folks are willing to do their best, then we can work together really well. And I'll do whatever I need to do to bring that out. But that's only if folks are trying to really kind of, I'll use Mr. Charles' phrase, really trying to win, I'm there for you. I know who I am. I know who I am, and my father had to remind me of that last year, because he asked me that, and he gave me his perspective on what he was seeing in me all my life. He's known me all my life, so he was like, "Yeah, you have this gift, and anything that you put your mind to, you can do." And I've seen it all your life, and so you keep moving forward on that. You keep moving forward. I support you. You keep moving forward on that. And so that let me know that I was in the right direction and that it affirmed and confirmed who I am and what my purpose is.
Yeah, it's amazing because we all have gifts. And I think that we lose track of that because sometimes we look at others' gifts that may have brought them a lot of money, fame, and we think, okay, they're more gifted. Nah, we all been given the billions that walk the face of this earth. The uniqueness of God has given us all individual gifts. It's up to us to find out what those gifts are, using to the best of our ability. Mr. Charles, you know, you got to know who you are. You got to know that you're meant to have a purpose. So who you are, Mr. Charles, and your purpose, sir?
When I thought about that and I heard that and I listened to DeMaurice so eloquently put down what he said, it just got me thinking. I was like, do you know who the hell you are? I was like, man. But I do know who I am. It took me a while. I think I'm still learning about myself because the process has been so crazy. And the one thing that somebody taught me about is the issues I've had with my inner child have played a part, and it took me a while to understand that. What I mean by that is when you have to grow up quick and do some grown-up stuff, sometimes you miss part of your childhood. And I do think that for some individuals like myself, that inner child comes back and wants to play again. and they wanted to say, hey, what about the time I missed? And you, as an adult, try to rebuke it, but in the end, it's like, man, I've been through hell. Why can't I have a moment just to kind of chill and be playful? And sometimes it's a struggle. But anyway, who I am is the factor that a person, I understand, that had to take through a lot of adversity and understanding and realize that through my dad, there's no room for too much crying. You know, this happened to me for a reason. I believe that. Not a lot of mistakes in that. And then I had to have to keep moving forward. And I had to remind myself of the strong person of who I am and why I stand on that, and being a leader as well in a lot of behind-the-scenes situations. And my purpose, kind of similar to what DeMarie said, but mine, I think, it kind of goes a little different. I think my purpose is to encourage, to listen, to understand, help people to see the reality of things. I didn't think for it so at first, but I think that's a gift where I was like, this is just kind of by occasion happening, people coming to me. But then after a while, I started becoming overwhelming, but an overabundance of people knocking on the door about trying to connect or just trying to be heard or seeing that they needed a little help. And I said, yeah, I don't think this is a coincidence because it's happening too much. But then the reality of it, to understand, as I said, to help them improve and really to help people heal, man. And when I mean heal, I ain't trying to say I'm a pastor. I'm making no miracles or nothing like that. What I mean by heal is certain positions and times in our life, we struggle with things, and it's hard to kind of come off the mat and start to move forward so we can improve and get back to where we need to be or move forward to another part of our life. And I think that's part of what I do, sharing through positivity, informing people. But most importantly, too, because we can be down, this will be my last point, when we're really down, it's hard to come off the mat, bro. But I think it's something, and I really don't dive into this much, but I know there's something that I have a kind of crazy skill, a little bit, if nothing else, is I got to lift you up, and I do that by entertaining you, by making you laugh, bro. Somewhere, some way, I'm going to find something that's going to go, man, you over here talking about such and such and such, and I'm going to start something crazy as hell. You like, man, you know I'm hurting right now. I said, you know, but you need to get your ass up and let's go. You want to say something crazy that you can relate to that makes you go, man, I'm at my worst point, but you still making me laugh, and it's going to be okay. I think that's a gift, but I don't know. I try not to do it, but it's just embedded in me, man. And always when the situation come up, I can find something humorous. As long as it's not too crazy or bad situation, I can make you laugh. It's time to get your ass up and let's go. Anyway, sorry.
Through the honesty, vulnerabilities, when black men talk, myself, Mark Elliott, Mr. D. Reese, Mr. Charles, thank you for giving us a listen. You work your gift, bro. That's your gift. You work your gift. I want to just piggyback on something you said, that, you know, you're not a minister and to help folks. And that's what kind of always kind of hit me in the head some. People believe that you got to go to a certain person to get something that's meant to be given to you through God, and that's not necessarily true in my mind, you know, and that's how a lot of times people get failed, they get misled, get mistreated, and a lot of things happen because you believe this person's ordained, the only person you can go to. No, it's all within you. You can get it from yourself. It's there if you truly want it, and you have to believe it, that it's inside of you, and you can bring it around. But oh, yeah, absolutely know who I am, you know, always kind of knew, you know, who and basically who I am, always felt that sense of strength. I mean, it sounds cocky to some. I don't care. I just don't care because I've worked on myself. I put the work in. I've done things I felt I needed to do to improve me. So in doing that, realistically, someone else's opinion or whatever, I can care less. I've been honest with myself. Brutally honest with myself to basically be who I am. So absolutely, I look at purpose, and I love what you two gentlemen say, because I think if you say to a lot of people, what is your purpose, they will probably say some things in a materialistic thing. You know, I want to, you know, I want to have, I want to build, I want to get. It's like, and I remember as a child, man, you know, there's certain things, you know, I wanted as a child. It's like, you know, you want to, we had dreams. Your dreams could have been a football player. Your dream could have been this, but that's not your purpose. At the end of the day, just like you two gentlemen, my purpose is to help others and be to where others that may have come in contact with me are better off of just knowing me. Something about me should kind of help you along the way, and you to me as well. But that's really the ideal purpose. I think sometimes we lose sight of is that your purpose is to basically benefit God's children, some form of fashion. We all are God's children. And we lose sight of that, but that's really our earnest purpose, I believe, for us to do on a daily basis. It's not about how much money you can accumulate, who's going to like you, how many freaking likes you got on social media. No. What have you done for others that could stand? Because it's going to come a day, and that day is Judgment Day. And are you going to be able to say, basically, I've given my best in that area. I give my best to my purpose. I may have fell short, but I earnestly try to give my best to my purpose. When that day comes, Mr. Charles, you know, are we going to be able to say, hey, I've given my best? Questions back to you, sir.
Wow. Ooh, I hope so. Anyway, you know, I'm a realist, but you think you know, but the question is, do you really know? You know, I think part of it, but and I'm such a, I'm my own worst critic. I'm such a perfectionist at times that I wonder. I'm like, man, you say you believe, you say you're going through this, and you're following the rules, and you really have your heart is really into this, but you say, man, are you gonna make that mark, bro? And I say that because I wonder myself. It's like certain people will tell you, oh, I know I'm going up there. I'm going to be with the Lord because I got wherever you believe. I go to church and I do this, that, and I do. And I'm like, well, do you really know? Do you really have a golden ticket? Or do you need to keep moving forward? So I'll say this. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. But that does not mean I'm going to not stop striving. I'm going to still keep striving, keep doing what I got to do to do as much as I can. Hopefully I'm hitting the mark. And if I have hit the mark, then hell, I'm just going to keep exceeding. But if not, I'm going to be treating it like I'm down 50, bro. I got 50 points to make up. Do it every day. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir. Love that. D. Maurice, it's, you know, something we don't really probably talk about. I may even think about that much, as we probably should. But, you know, Judgment Day comes for us all. It does, man. It finds us maybe when we least think it will, but at that moment, can we honestly stand back and say, I've given my best to my purpose?
Man, I really don't think about it, but this is what I try to do every day is I try to do the best I can every day. I try to make every day productive. I try to make every day something that I can look back on and say, okay, I've accomplished something, or I've done something that I put on the plans. So I really don't kind of, I've over the years, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to put my head down. I'm just going to grind because, you know, just in case I do look up, I want to know that when I look back and look forward that I've done a lot of good things, you know, when I look back. And I try not to look back a lot. I try not to concentrate on what I've done a lot, but somebody made something aware of me, aware of some of the things that they were asking me. It's like, and do you realize how many people you helped and how many people that benefited from just you being there or you doing this, that, the other? And I never really think about that. I just try to just put my head down, just grind every day, trying to be better, trying to do better, trying to be a better person. And I think that's, for me, I think that helps me out a lot more than thinking about, oh, am I doing this and I get a prize afterwards or I get something, you know, I don't think of it that way. It's just that every day you're breathing because honestly, I think that our breath is a prayer to the higher source because we can't do this on our own. And so I don't think people realize that every time you breathe, it's a prayer to the Creator. And so with that breath, what do you do with it? How do you kind of conduct yourself? How do you move forward? How do you make a better situation out of the situation that you're in? How do you make things better, not only for yourself, but for others? And I just kind of keep my head to the stone and my shoulder to the stone and just try to. And some days I get that big stone a lot further than the days previous. And sometimes I'll sit by that stone and go, you know what, I'm tired today. I can't push it. Can't push it today. But I kind of think of it that you just put your head and shoulders to the grindstone and you just keep moving it forward in a direction that it's supposed to go. And that's all I can do. And hopefully, like Mr. Child said, that is enough. When that time comes or where the circumstances kind of get to a point where it's a judgment or something like that. But for me to just sit there and go, okay, sit at the end of the day, well, I did this should get me in. I just can't kind of sit down and kind of do that every day. It's just that hopefully that my efforts and what I try to do today would be beneficial not only for me and the person that I'm trying to help, but to the Creator who created me and serving the purpose that I was put on this earth to do.
Where do you go to find such riveting conversation that us three gentlemen tend to have? You can go to Spotify, you can go to iHeartRadio, you can go to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, just to name a few. But when you go there, make sure you look up One Black Man Talk, because this is what we do. Google Honest. We're not afraid to be vulnerable, and we give it like it should be given. We basically don't water it down, not afraid what needs to be said. We are One Black Man Talk. Yeah, that point of judgment, yeah, I want to basically kind of believe when that day does come, yeah, I've done enough, I've given enough to basically to the purpose to where, yeah, I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable. Maybe not be content, but I'm comfortable. Gentlemen, I'm going to say this and we're going to roll into our questions. I was inspired us to think that when we're telling someone at the times we have said we love someone, that something about them should have been better off if we're saying that to them. My past uncle kind of said that to me. Uncle Kurt said that to me years ago, man. I was young, and he said, Mark, you know, anytime you spend time with someone and then in your life, he said, they should be a little better off by knowing you. I'm not saying that's the goal. He said, it's just how it should work itself out. Kind of always stuck with me. So here it is many years later. He's passed on. And how he said it to me, I may have changed it some, moved around a little bit, but I still believe in the heart of what was said. Yeah, if we're going to spend time with folks or we're going to claim to love each other, and there doesn't have to be somebody you're in basically a relationship. But if you're going to love someone and claim to love people, yeah, they should be a little better, somewhat better, by knowing you the period of time they have. And that'd be part of our purpose as well. We're going to move into our questions, Mr. Charles. And if you have a question for us this week, sir, we'd be happy to hear it.
Okay. I had this question, and let me try to preface it by putting it out there the right way, because I guess you have to look at it. So my question to you is, are you living life or is life living you? And if you need me to break that down, I will.
No, I'm with you, boss. I'm with you. No, I'm living life, man.
Okay.
Man, I'm always been living life. Life is not living me. I would assume you said life is living you. You're basically chasing after life, and life has some of control over you. You don't have, you know, life by a grip. But no, understanding for me that life is a gift, understanding that, again, the purpose, and understanding that a gift is given to me to enjoy and to fulfill and live to fulfillment. To me, I say, yeah, you know, I'm living life. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice?
Man, I just thought about that, and it's a tug of war some days, man. It's a tug of war. It's like I'm living life, and then life is living me. It's a particular point. So, yeah, to me, it's you always have to be conscious that you want to live life and not life living you. But sometimes you get into that tug of war where, you know, you're in that 15-round fight, and you're trying to live life to the fullest. And there's some things you have to do to get to that point. But for me, I'll honestly say sometimes it's a tug of war, and it could be a struggle on both sides. But hopefully more living life than life is living me.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Mr. Charles, because, yeah, at times, you know, I have asked myself that in the past, but no, man, without further ado, bring your question back to you. Living it strong. How do you feel about it, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, I'm kind of like DeMaurice on that side. I think I struggle from time to time. And, in fact, other people remind me or they say something like, yo, man, you always working? You always doing something? You're always doing this. I'm like, man, shut up. Anyway, you ain't got to remind me. I know what I'm doing. I just kind of laugh and go, really? Now you see that too. So I must be not doing it. I need to turn this around real quick. But I think it's an ongoing struggle for me because, I don't know, I was always taught that you do things the right way and you focus on stuff. And being a perfectionist, it's hard to just stop. And then depending on what you get caught up in, you turn around and you go, man, that's all you do is work. That's all you do is try to make money, whatever the situation may be. And then I had to stop and go, hey, it's okay to start living life and doing some things. Then the other thing is you start thinking about mortality. It's like, man, every day is a gift. You sitting around here worrying about this, and when it's gone, they're going to just take everything that you put together and they're going to give it to somebody else. And you ain't even using it. What the hell is that? You're missing out on so many things. So I think right now I'm at a point where I am more living life, but I also have to realize, too, that I'm making a conscious effort to and not let life live me, because I think it's easy to fall into a trap where you feel as if you're going to be here for a long time or going to be here forever. And that never was the case ever before. But as we turn the clock moving forward, things are looking a little different. I'm on the other side now. And I really need to say, hey, man, do your best. Give it all you all, but have some fun. So my three girlfriends, I got three applications coming out. Y'all come see me. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, maybe not. But we'll see. Come holler at me.
Applications, man. Yeah, man. Life is to be lived. It's to be lived and lived, I believe. Your question, Mr. DeMaurice?
Yeah, I thought about this because it's been kind of like the hot story all week. And I haven't read all the comments and what people are saying, but it just seems to be that there are a number of people who have different opinions on this. I wanted to get you guys' opinion on this. Not because of the celebrity, but the situation. I don't know if you guys remember the actress, Kiki Palmer. She played in A Killer to Be. She just had a baby. And she was videotaped at an Usher concert with her attire wasn't appropriate. And, being a mother, and her significant other, the father of her child, was on social media saying how, you know, he was disappointed in her and her actions during this particular concert. I guess it was one of her favorite artists, Usher, and how she was dressed. And you had people who were chiming in saying, you know, well, she's out here living her best life, so let her, why are you even saying that and all that stuff. Some people are saying, you know, it shouldn't have been brought out on social media. Others saying, hey, you're a mother, you're supposed to hold yourself in a certain way now, as opposed to kind of being scantily, cladded or wearing kind of revealing clothing out there in public, maybe having a girl's trip or whatever. I wanted to get you guys' opinion on that.
Woohoo! Okay, man.
Yeah, I'm getting in trouble. Go ahead.
no trouble, man. I just laugh because I remember said something similar about this. I think, I don't know if it was a sports show or was it here, when Serena had her child. And I was saying how she should basically spend some time being a mom shortly after. She was right back trying to win. You call me a male chauvinist. That's why I laugh. You call me a male chauvinist. So, you know.
No, that's
you
not the reason why I told you that. That yeah, clear that
yes,
up.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Not the
when
reason
you go in the
why.
Archives, that's what you said. You was like, you know, if it was a man, you said to me, if it was a man, I'd be saying, I said no, because I said this, if we're going to talk about, so that's about Tiger Woods. I don't know why Tiger Woods is trying to push his son to be a golfer. Bro, there's many things you have your son do. You should be basically trying to raise your son to be a man first and a golfer maybe second or third. With all that being said, man, I look at things individually. And I don't, you know, we can do whatever we want to do. We are. You know, we were raised in a different generation, a different time. But to me, just had her child within the past 3 to 6 months. I don't understand why, if you're a parent, Vegas is not going anywhere. Usher's not going anywhere. How do you disconnect yourself emotionally from your early child? That's in there? And that's, these are prime times. Those days and months after birth are a prime time for a baby. And you can do whatever you want, but you on stage shaking your black ass. I don't get it as a parent. I just don't get it. So you can put social media and all that, and everybody could have their version. But what about the baby? You see, but now we believe nannies and all this can raise babies. And no, because there's a bonding period. Those first 3 months, a baby basically can't even see, but it can feel. If we lose sight of that baby been in the womb for months. It's a new world. So I, right there, how are you basically disconnected? I don't care what she was wearing. You know, I will say, I think people put too much of their business and their feelings and their thoughts on social media, and there's no place for it. Because once you start putting your stuff out there, you can't control what's going to come back. You can't. You know, sometimes our feelings and our thoughts will go to where they need to go. I don't think that's the turnpike we should be on. So I'll leave it there, man. Me and my male chauvinist thoughts, Mr. D. Maurice, I'll leave this there. Mr. Charles, what you feeling, boy?
Man, that I'm kind of like in the middle. Because I'll say this. I do agree, first of all, that the social media, the comeback from the mate or the helpmate or whatever, the partner or the father should never have been on social media. Because once you put it out there, as you said, put it out there, then it's fair game for people to just kind of come at you. I do understand, and I agree with what Mark mentioned about the standpoint of being there for the baby, being the mom and whatnot. But I also understand that, you know, there's a lot of women might say, yeah, I get all that, but hell, I've been carrying this baby for 9 months, blah, 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 you know, whatever. So I see both sides. But the one thing I would most importantly do if I was the partner, I would say, hey, look, I would definitely talk to her off, you know, outside, at home or wherever. Because that's where the key is going to be, and that's what a man does. Or the way that I was raised to be a man, I'm going to address it to you. I'm like, hey, okay, you went out with your girls, whatever, and that's Usher, and you dressed or whatever. But at the same time, we're going to need you to do this and that. Because I said, we're trying to set the tone for something, how we're going about raising our child, how we're going to make sure our child has everything that it needs, and what we're going to do together. We're going to be together. You know, you got to check that in. That's that Mac talking. You got to check that in. And if you don't check it in, you go on social media. Well, she really was disappointing because she had that cat too, the one that she's with Usher, and the baby's here crying, and I'm trying to feed the baby for them. We need to be breastfed. Bruh, the hell, man. Come on now. You need to tighten that up when she get back at the house or whatever. And if she says something else, she got to feel the wrath or at least understand where you're coming from and what needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, I see that. I would say real quick, if I come back to Mr. Beast, there's another celebrity. I'm not even going to drop his name in this conversation, but he had got an artist, a recording artist. They had a baby together. A month after they had the baby, she hired a woman to babysit, told the woman she was going somewhere. He left the child and went to Vegas. Child had no nothing to drink, no diapers, no nothing with this woman. And didn't have a call number. And the woman was taking care of the child for like 4 or 5 days. So, I mean, I hear that a woman carried, but I don't buy that. So what? That's what mothers and fathers do. That's what we do. I'm sorry. When you decide to basically bring a child into the world, that's what you do. So So, you know, to each his own, you do what you do. But sometimes we stand back and look at all the dumb stuff that's going on in our community right now. Who do we point the fingers at? Is it Vegas? Who do you point the fingers at? Realistically, when our kids are killing themselves at a young age because we're living our best life, how about being a best parent? Your response, Mr. DeMarais.
Yeah, it made me think of a lot of different things. Be careful who you kind of lay down and have children with. I think we all could, you know, or a couple of us can attest to that. You know, people not knowing who they are. We talked about that earlier. And they change after a certain point. But I think you have to be, when you become a parent, you're not only thinking about yourself, you have to think about that child and all your actions and things that you do. There are consequences. There are rewards and consequences that come with that. And I think that the young man, I think he's, you know, they're both young. They're both trying to figure it out. And he shouldn't have put that online. And it always amazes me is that when I talk to women and we have in these conversations, you know, group conversations, that women want a traditional man, but they're not willing to be the traditional woman that we probably saw and probably were raised by. And so it's really kind of just really interesting to see how women take independence and all this other stuff to mean that sometimes they can go out there and be hoochies and it's okay. But when you're representing a family and they're trying to build a family and trying to, you know, establish themselves as parents and things of that sort, sometimes when you have a child, sometimes you got to put some of that stuff away and not be so public about it and not get to the point where you forget that your role as a parent and as a black woman. And I'm all about folks having fun and all that other stuff, but if you're doing something that you know that will hurt that other person or make that other person feel like they're less than or make that person feel like, you know, they shouldn't be with you as a mate because you're still out there maybe kind of flirting around with the idea of being with somebody else or, you know, living like you're single, then you need to really kind of give some second or third thoughts on the actions you're displaying and how that will affect your family, that child later on in that relationship. Because it seemed like the way she was out there, to me personally, that she didn't care about family. She didn't care about the relationship. She was out there living her best life and screw the rest of it. I'll deal with it when I get back. And so I'm not saying not go out there and have fun, but there's certain appropriate things that you can do to make sure that you keep your family and your house a home instead of going out there, to me, looking ratchet.
Yeah. Well said, man. Well said. We need to really focus in on black family, young, old, or whatever. If we want things to be different for our generation, the generation that's come behind us, it all starts there. It all starts there. It starts right there because you can't basically raise a bad plant and expect a plant to get older and all of a sudden now decides, hey, I want to be a good plant. Yeah, I want to be one of those good plants. We got a few minutes left, so I'm going to come back to you with if you have another question, Mr. Charles, we'll try to squeeze it in, sir.
Yeah. Next question is, in regards to what do you think the state of, and I know it's kind of hard to put out there, but with all of the madness that's going on, what do you think the state of the future of our young African-American males? I was talking to a young man yesterday. But what do you think the state of it is in regards to what their future? Is it bleak? Could it be promising? We got some work to do. Just want to get your assessment.
Yeah, we're going to keep these answers kind of short, Mr. DeMarais, kind of based on the time we are. And the producers want us to get out of here in a few minutes. But I'll say this, man. I will say looking at it is bleak if I go into my faith as it's promising. But it can turn itself around if we turn some things around. But it's bleak. Without even really giving a second thought, it's very bleak. Very. It's just wow. And at the end of the day, I don't think we have anybody to blame but ourselves. And that could be another show, another topic, but I think we've done our young black males a disservice. We know society has done a disservice. Black people, black mothers and fathers has done our black males a disservice. Irresponsible parents.
Yeah, sometimes I think that way, and then it depends on where you are in the spectrum. And I had a chance to meet this brother who developed this organization here in Chicago called My City, My Hood, My Block. And a brother came from, really hard past and happened to go and play basketball or didn't play a lot somewhere in Nebraska and learned a lot of life lessons. And he has this program where he takes kids out of the inner city and starts showing them different parts of Chicago. And just to give them a feeling that there are other things that you can get into that will benefit you. So every time I start thinking that, okay, there's no hope, or, these young kids, they're just not with it, all that other stuff, I try to think back on when I was growing up and how it was and how much of a knucklehead I was. And then I see this young man. And I gave him a card at the end because I asked him a question about, do you hook them up with mentors later? And he was like, we're not at the capacity to do that. But he said, that's a great idea. And I gave him a card and I said, let's talk about this. Because it's just not, it's one thing just to show folks what they can be, what avenues or paths that can we create to get them to where they want to be. And so every time I start thinking about, they're no good, blah, 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 there's always that, that little bright spot where there's a young man or a young woman who has a great idea. And I think us as older mentors, we should help cultivate that and help them on their way. It could really kind of benefit not only us and them, but a whole segment of the population that we kind of look down on. But we can get some positive things out of once we show them the way.
That's a good response to the race. Really good response. Quick question for you, man. Are you still a knucklehead? That's the question. Can you, we said that you was a knucklehead. You said you was a knucklehead one time. Are you still a knucklehead currently?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm glad you're honest, bro.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're honest, man. Come on, now. Keep it real. Mr. Charles, your response, bro. We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, just real quick. I do agree. I think that it seems bleak to me with all of the killings and the shootings of our young men and whatnot, but I do agree with DeMaurice that I think mentoring and playing a part goes a long way. Like the young man I talked to yesterday was, he's come living out in the suburbs and he came to the inner city helping out, doing some things. And he said he couldn't stand where he lived and things of that nature because he can't stand it or whatever. And I kind of brought it to his attention. I said, this young men here in the neighborhood would love to be where you at. And you privileged at being in that position, but yet you fighting it. You don't see the blessing that you have. And I threw him a scenario and I said, have you ever been in this position before? He's like, nah. But if I did, I would. I said, but you've never been there. So you can only assume what you think you would do. I said, the problem or the issue is the pressure that goes along with what I just, the situation I presented to you. And he was like, and he got quiet. I said, no, just understand the blessing that you have. Because a lot of people sitting here wish they were in your position. Yet you're complaining about it, that you live in the life of La Vida Loca. And I didn't say it like that, but that's what I was thinking, living the life of La Vida Loca. And living a world life where other people down here selling drugs doing what they got to do because it's mama and the 3 siblings at home and there's no man at home, but you got to do what you got to do to put food on the table. Leave it right there.
Gentlemen, we do what we do here, and I appreciate it. We get together, once every 2 weeks, and we formulate the show When Black Men Talk, and go into a deep conversation. We get together again another 2 weeks, and myself, DeMaurice, Mr. Charles, will chalk it up again. Appreciate you giving us a listen. Just don't listen. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your enemies. There's some serious conversations going on. It's When Black Men Talk. You all be good. Enjoy your 2 weeks and stay black. We'll hook up soon.